You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Back, folks. I will be joined very shortly by Foundering musician. And if you're a viewer of this show, you've seen many of his songs before. He'll be on with us momentarily. I do want to take a quick moment to show a video report from Russia. Russia is accusing Ukraine of planning on launching a nuclear attack, dirty bomb, against some of their nuclear facilities. Ukraine is ramping things up. Russia is taking this very seriously and threatening to respond in kind. And we approach ever closer to the cliff of doom in World War III. Here's a report from RT.
Alarming news. So coming from a Russian state media outlet, which in turn is citing Russian law enforcement officials, we're hearing that Ukrainian armed forces are planning to detonate a dirty nuclear bomb. And the potential targets are storage sites at power plants. Well, to get a bit more on this, let's cross live now to RT correspondent Igor Zhdanov. I mean, Igor, I know that this is something that's literally emerged, well, really within the last sort of half an hour, 45 minutes. Very disturbing. What do we know at this stage?
Well, basically, we know that various reports in various media outlets have emerged, citing anonymous sources within the Russian security bloc, purporting that, indeed, Kiev could be planning a dirty bomb attack against nuclear waste facilities of the Zaporozhye and the Kursk nuclear power plants. Indeed, some very concerning developments and some very concerning and, indeed, alarming news. Apparently, according to these reports, the Russian security bloc even knows the direct location of the special warheads that Kiev has prepared for this attack. And they do provide this location in the Dnipropetrovsk region of Ukraine. This is not the first time that Russia is warning and is ringing the alarm about the possibility of such nuclear provocation. Here's what the head of Russia's radiological, chemical, and biological protection forces had previously said.
How realistic is the scenario of Ukraine's military political leadership creating a dirty bomb?
Well, we won't reveal any secrets, but in fact, it's not that difficult. I believe they already have one. There have been instances of toxic substances being used that could only have been synthesized in the US, because no other industry is equipped to produce them. All our concerns have been formally submitted to the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons. So far, there has been no reaction.
Now, again, very, very concerning. And these reports come as the coordinator for the pro-Russian underground inside Ukraine has stepped forward with a statement of his own. He says that plenty of Western journalists have arrived to the Sumy region and the Kherson region that part that is currently under the control of the Kiev forces. He claims that that could be to cover this provocation. Again, these are his words, and this is something that the head of the pro-Russian, or rather the coordinator...
So this is the Russians warning. And again, you know, maybe it's not true, but the Russians believe it's true, so they'll act on that. The Hill has a really powerful article on this called Ukraine's Kursk Offensive, a huge strategic error, calling it a reckless gambit, more akin to a desperate stunt worthy of a second-rate actor than a seasoned statesman, saying while the incursion captured headlines and inflicted some measure of psychological damage, it was a superficial victory, saying every soldier, tank, and piece of artillery deployed to the Russian incursion represents a loss to the Ukrainian effort to liberate occupied territories. Instead of actually focusing on achievable objectives, Ukraine finds itself embroiled in a costly and ultimately futile endeavor. Moreover, they say it's essential to consider the potential consequences of such actions. A prolonged incursion into Russia could escalate the conflict, drawing in other nations and potentially leading to catastrophic global confrontation. It's a dangerous game of chicken with the stakes for humanity as a whole being unimaginably high. So yeah, they're driving us towards World War III. Russia, as always, is desperately attempting to ward them off. But that's not what the people in power want. They want war. They want World War III. They want to remake the world in their image, and they have to wipe the slate clean before they do. We'll be right back with Foundering.
Nitric Boost, Turmeric 95, high quality CBD gummies. It's all available at InfoWarsStore.com via the InfoWars MD line. Now, this is a private label of one of the top supplement makers in the country of high-end quality at reasonable prices. They let us private label their products. That's why you've already heard of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. Well, we got the 95% curcuminoid from them. This is just their brand of that. And so it is available under Turmeric 95. That's the name. So we're sold out of Bodies, but we have Turmeric 95 that is, again, the same concentrated turmeric. Same thing with Nitric Boost. Nitric Boost came from this company. They even let us use their name. It's now our best seller. We sold out of our version. Their version has a white bottle. It's the exact same thing. You get it at InfoWarsStore.com. So check out InfoWars MD at InfoWarsStore.com.
I will eat your leftist ass like corn on the cob. I'm ready.
I will.
I will eat your ass. I will eat your leftist ass like corn on the cob. I'm ready.
I will eat you.
I will eat your ass. My children aren't going hungry. I'll do it. I'll drink your blood. And I'm starting to think about having to eat my neighbor. You think I like sizing up? Gonna haul him up by chain. Chop his ass up, sizing up. Gonna haul him up by chain.
Yes, folks, it is the classic Alex Jones, I will eat your ass rant. Refurbished, remade into a ragtime ballad by my guest, Kalen DeGataldi. He's a ragtime pianist and satirical songwriter. You can find him on X at Foundering1 or on Rumble at Foundering. And I'm very happy to welcome to the show today. Kalen, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much, man. It's a pleasure to be here. You said you were going to play one of my tunes. I wasn't expecting that one, but it was a pleasant surprise. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, you got a lot of options to choose from. You come out with a lot of stuff, and we've played your songs before. I think they're hilarious. And of course, I wanted to have you on for a couple different reasons. There's so much to talk about, and I want to get your takes on a lot of this, but I also just want to encourage the arts, if you will. I'm a patron of the arts. I want to see more entertaining, funny, joyful content like the stuff that you make. How did you get started in doing this in particular, these political songs? What inspired you, and what's your background? Are you a musical theater guy? They all kind of have this like ragtime and musical theater feel to them. Tell us, you know, how you became Foundering.
So yeah, I wasn't necessarily a theater kid, though. I do embrace that persona a lot. I love ragtime. So ragtime is pre-jazz. It was popular in the early 1900s. It's very quick. The syncopated rhythms are an important feature of it. It's good for like kids with ADD that just need constant stimulation. So when I was a kid, I found my dad's ragtime book of pieces by Scott Joplin, and the rest was history. So I joined a band called Postmodern Jukebox, and we toured the world a bunch in my pre-life. And I think, look, I started on YouTube in the early days before even Google bought YouTube. And it was such a freer, I mean, you were around, just the internet. Like, I started watching Alex Jones in the mid-2000s, and it was just this, anything was possible. We could, sure, there was a lot of nonsense out there, but we could fill our minds with all this information. And I started writing anti-war songs when Bush was president on YouTube. And I noticed that my channel was getting suppressed. Sure, I was making my ragtime songs, and they were getting a bunch of views. But the moment I started criticizing the status quo, criticizing the 2008 bank crisis and everything, I noticed that my channel was getting hit. So over the years, I just changed my approach to doing less normie approved stuff and more sort of testing the boundaries. And eventually during the COVID era, I completely got fed up and got my channel removed because I made fun of Fauci and did a few other unmentionable things. So here we are.
Yeah. No, it's tough out there for the dissonance. And what I love about what you do, and it's, I don't know if you do it consciously, but you know, I like making skits because it's like, there's something about humor that it can get through the defenses. And if you're talking about something like COVID, you know, I made skits about COVID, and I would show them to people who, you know, if I just tried to bring it up to them, it would be this wall would come up and it'd be contentious and it'd be angry. But if you do it as a joke, they can't really hate you for it.
Or with any type of art form, any type of music. So what you're hitting at is the what I would call the court jester phenomenon, where you got the court jester and his job, he's the only one that is afforded the opportunity to make fun of the king to his face.
Right.
Right. And he provides a pressure valve for the masses. And once you cut off the head of the court jester, you lose that connection. The people, and we're important for the king, but we're also important for the people because we put that mirror back at society. The emperor is naked, right?
Right.
People are ignoring that. But then when the little kid or the court jester or whoever sings a song and says, look at that naked dude, then right. The spell is broken. And you know that you're in trouble in a tyrannical society before the boot comes down hard, right, when they go for the artists. We've seen it again in all the cultural revolutions. Who did they go for? The educated people and the artists, the singers and the songwriters.
Right.
We are that last line. And it may seem like I'm patting myself on the back here. Like, I'm not a soldier, but we're fighting a war on different fronts now. This is an information battle. It's a war for your mind. Like,
yep.
Look, there's a reason why these things that Alex has been saying and you have been saying for so many years resonates with people, because this is where we're at now. We see what's happening. You did a great segment on the UK, what's going on over there. It really made me grateful for the Revolutionary War right. generation, because we fought a war so that we could sing silly songs. I mean, let's be real.
Right. And it's not silly, right? It's, you know, it's not just something that you refer to. Well, the First Amendment, it gives you freedom of speech. It's like, no, there's real purpose to this. It is a real danger to not have freedom of speech. It's giving up freedom of thought itself. And again, just getting back to it, it's your style. It's always very over the top, and you sort of lead into the camera, and it's goofy. I mean, the music is good. You can tell that you know what you're doing. You're not just banging on the piano. You clearly have some talent in this regard. But it's goofy, it's silly, and, you know, maybe if people were to read what, you know, your lyrics on a paper, it'd be like, oh my God, I can't believe it. But when you're at your piano and you're being silly, it's like, what, you're going to get mad at this? You're mad at the silly guy at his piano?
You just showed one of my most controversial ones where you're so right. And it's so funny because I tend to try to make fun of everybody. Like, I have a song where I basically sing every slur that I can possibly think of. What's really interesting is the... So it's like I'm throwing something against the wall and seeing what sticks. And it's more who has the overreaction, right? So I've made fun of Christians. I've made fun of Muslims. But that song, making fun of Jews in Israel, that one really, really pissed people off. And my song, make just very lighthearted song on the trans question. I got more death threats than anything I've ever done.
Right.
Because of that. I got kicked off of Twitter last year for a simple song about that. And then with the YouTube thing, like you said, going over the top, using humor, I was making fun of Fauci in a way that would bring in people that normally wouldn't. If you said, hey, this vaccine doesn't work, they kind of will shut down. But if you've got a twinkle in your eye, you're leaning into that camera, you're doing fancy stuff, it lets their guard down a little bit and makes them more receptive to this type of information. And when I had the song, the mRNA song that I wrote called Speed of Science, where I was like, the jab never worked. It really struck a chord with a lot of people that I heard, that they told me, you know, I disagree with you, but I listened to that whole song and I loved it. And that is right. What they cannot abide. And so YouTube shut that down the moment that stuff started getting traction. So here we are.
No, it is just absolutely fascinating. And again, you're right about, you know, the different reactions. You've even made fun of Alex Jones a little bit. You've made fun of, and like, it doesn't matter to us because we know what we're doing here. We know who we are. We don't really care if people, you know, say bad crap about us because
it's a test.
Yeah,
the court jester should be allowed to make fun of everybody. And like I said, it's the reaction that is key. And the fact that I have written songs making fun of Alex, and here I am talking on his, you know, his program, I think that says a lot. So there are certain folks that would never, ever give me the time of day because of the stuff. I mean, I keep getting fired from all my, you know, I shouldn't complain too much. I put my name out there, put my face out there. So it is what it is. But I'm in a very liberal blue city in California right now. And I'm persona non grata here. Like, I am completely blocked from everything. But again, I don't necessarily want to participate in their COVID was a big wake up call. Like, I was definitely going down the vaccine rabbit hole thanks to Alex from 20 years ago when he said, right, you know, question vaccines. And I'm like, what? My dad's a doctor. I'm question vaccines. And then here I am now. And he's like, yeah, I got an unvaccinated kid. This is a whole new world. And we all have our journey. We all have our process. And I get some folks pushing back and saying, hey, you know, you're doing this kind of gay piano theater kid thing. And I'm like, yeah, it might not work for you, but there's a certain demographic section out there that really responds to this stuff. And I'm not trying to say, you know, I'm doing this and I very highly produced stuff or anything, but something about music, something about art in general is key to keeping our humanity, especially in a time, as you were saying, when AI is calling the shots, AI is doing all. I agree with you. I think COVID was AI run. Like, they used these programs to sort of see how far they can push us. And 100%. We are up against a juggernaut here.
Yeah, 100%. And man, there's so many interesting things that you just touched on. And of course, you know, the thing is that it's kind of gay. It's kind of like, you know, ragtimey. It sort of shatters the perception, which, you know, it's a false perception anyway. It should have been shattered years ago. But, you know, when you hear the media going, not these Nazi fascist MAGA supporting extremists, and then it's you just like, dun, 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 dun. You know, it shatters the whole perception.
They've had a monopoly on the arts, and it is a false monopoly, if that makes sense. So they have created this idea that only the certain type can be a creative type, and it's just not true. There's sure, you know, you could say that there's more of a artistic personality on more of the effeminate type of people, but that doesn't necessarily have to translate to political views. And I think that's where we've gone so wrong, where people that I live with here, they know that they're voting for these people that are causing the destruction and the druggies on the streets and the murders and all that. And they know that the COVID lockdowns were mostly left policies, but they are so conditioned to vote and think a certain way that they would never ever think of anything different. So that's why they look at me, they see someone who they feel should be an ally. And when I reveal myself as not an ally, they come for blood.
Right. It's worse. It's worse, right? They're fine with, like, you know, a trucker being right wing, but you're supposed to be left wing. So you're like a traitor on top of, you know, being their enemy politically. And again, just the joy that comes across in your videos, it's something that I try, like, consciously to do, to show people that, like, the awakening process doesn't have to be a blackpilling process. You can be awake to this stuff. You can be aware of what's going on, and you can still be happy and creative. So many people, they fall down, because you mentioned, like, the journey, the process of being red-pilled, being awakened, whatever, however you want to phrase it. Everybody has to go through a process, because everybody starts off in this highly orchestrated atmosphere of control. And once you break out of that, you're sort of on your own. And a lot of people, they realize how bad things are. They realize the good guys don't always win the wars. And it's incredibly depressing and upsetting. And they actually, like, want, they're like mad at you for not being depressed and hopeless. But what's necessary is for people to understand, you can learn all this stuff and be happy. And it's actually, like, being a defeatist is them winning, and you have to be able to confront them and be joyful in it.
Music is my therapy. That it's a coping mechanism, I guess. But that last song, for example, that you just showed a clip of, is called The Pandemic Dance. And I wrote that in 2020 when I still had my YouTube channel, and I was going through a period of, we all have them as artists, up and downs. And I'm like, I'm not going to write any songs anymore. And then finally, I was really depressed during COVID, not because of the disease, but because I wanted my friends and family to know that it was okay and that they didn't have to worry about it. Then none of them believed me, and I felt like I was a crazy person. So I wrote that song as an outlet, as a way to sort of channel that frustration. And I think I would be more black-pilled if it wasn't for that musical outlet. And then the response I get from people is the same, where they say, wow, you actually caused me to laugh at a very difficult thing so it's, I think we're really important when it comes to that. Again, I'm giving myself a little pat on the back, but we see people getting arrested for songs like Mr. Bond and Alison Chabaz over in Europe for just singing songs questioning Israel and stuff like that. And I wonder, would I be arrested in England right now? I mean, I sing songs making fun of immigration. I wrote a song called "The Euphemism Rag." I wonder if that is even going to be possible in a lot of these countries.
Right.
So I think that we are this last bastion, and certainly everyone has all the meme warriors out there that are fighting on the front lines. We all have our role to play, and I feel like this is my role, for
Absolutely.
Better or for worse.
No, it takes everybody, and I always point out, like, I mean, this is a very much a real war. It is an information war. It's weird that, you know, our form of fighting takes place as, you know, ragtime piano parody songs, but it's a battle of the mind. It's a battle of perception. It's a it's a war in every
many
real
fronts.
Sense.
I love how you mentioned the Foundation series a lot. This whole idea of Asimov. I read all of Asimov's stuff when I was in fifth grade, and I always had the sense of Trump as the mule. Do you know
yes.
you know what I'm talking about?
100%. Yeah, for sure. I think Hitler was the mule, but yeah.
Okay, maybe Trump is mule. Trump might be mule 2.0.
Right.
But these are all. All those science fiction guys, it was a blueprint. The George Orwells were writing about all this stuff. And it's just fascinating to grow up in the 2000s in the Bush, you know, Iraq war era, and now seeing all this coming to fruition.
Yeah.
I feel like we're born to be alive right now. And I'm happy to embrace that.
Exactly. It's thrilling, and it's fun watching everybody else sort of follow behind. And again, I think that's why it's important that people like you and I are here to go, hey, welcome to, you know, welcome in. You know, I get it can be a little scary the first time you get in here, but we've been in here for 2 decades and we're fine. So don't worry about it. It's okay. You're just waking up to this stuff. You didn't look into this stuff before. It's good you're into it now. But trust us, we've been here since the mid-2000s. And we're fine, and everything's fine, and things are getting better, actually. More people are waking up, and it's thrilling to see. And that's actually a topic I was interested in getting into on today's show anyway, and I'd love to hear your take on it, because this weekend, Candace Owens, Dan Blitzerian, or whatever his name is, big controversy. But I feel like as you talk about the journey or the process of being aware of this stuff, there's a very odd process that's going on right now where people who previously were all in favor of Israel, they loved Israel, they didn't know anything was wrong with, then October 7th happens and they're outraged, they think Israel has a right to respond, then they see how overboard it gets and they see the lies and they start questioning things, and in response to this, they're called anti-Semitic, they're called Nazis, and people insult them. And I just think, you know, it's not just Candace Owens going through this. She might be an example of this, but there are millions of people in America right now who never questioned our relationship with Israel. They're starting to ask questions, and calling them anti-Semitic, it just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't do anything good. It doesn't do anything positive. And you just think of it as yourself. If you have questions, I'm not anti-Semitic. I have questions about Israel. If you call me a Nazi for it, it's not going to make me stop asking questions. It's just going to make me like be like, oh, is this thing
it's
bigger than I thought?
It's going to make me write more songs. It's going to make me push back even harder.
Yeah,
so social
exactly.
media has changed the it's done a lot of bad stuff, but it has connected us in a way. Whereas, so I was banned from Twitter for almost half the year last year. They never said why. They brought me back on October 7th. Who knows why? So all of a sudden I'm back on October 7th. And the first thing I start talking about is the 40 beheaded babies. That was
right.
clearly a hoax. And I'm like, 40 is their number that they use for their numerology rituals. Like 40 days, 40 nights, the flood. Like it's like a biblical thing. And I'm writing this stuff. And if I was doing this 10 years ago, I was writing about the numerology. You know, I'm a schizo poster. It's just what
we
do.
Right.
But 10 years ago, they would have said, you just shut up. But now I'm responding to Charlie Kirk and all these guys. And then they're all, oh, wow. Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. Like this, they're doing occult rituals. And so this is changing. We went through the process, the 20-year process. Like I was on Reddit 20 years ago, battling with folks like Ghislaine Maxwell, who
right.
was the first super user on Reddit. She used the screen name Maxwell Hill, and her buddies were a bunch of just Mossad folks that artificially boosted Reddit. Of course, I didn't know that at the time, but we have been on the front lines of this for a really long time, where you could lay out all this stuff point by point in your 15 years of journey, and people will shut down. Whereas now we're in a different environment where things are clickbait, quick attention spans, and a 60, 90 second song can really do a lot. So you showing my song, Oy Vey, Shut It Down, I wrote that as kind of a joke, you know, Jews, fake space and all. It's just like a kind of a joke, but it also touched on some real stuff. And I didn't really think twice about it, but then YouTube went really hard on it, removed it for hate speech. And I'm like, okay, I'm actually going to go hard. And I wrote a song called Swindler's Grift about Israel and the stuff that they, you know, Lavon Affair, Samson Option, all the stuff that they, the shady stuff that they do. So it isn't about being anti-Semitic or anything like that. It's as the court jester, you need to make fun of who needs it. If you give one group of people immunity from criticism, then that's tyranny. Then they, yes, bad actors will assume the identity of it. We see that with the trans issue, right? Where, sure, most of them kind of probably just want to do whatever, but then there's a few militant ones that will dox you and send you death threats and try to destroy your life.
Right.
Those are the bullies.
Right. Or there's a few perverts that, like, see it as an excuse to go into the girls' locker room and go, hey, I can cloak myself in transgenderism, and then I got this whole contingent of people that will defend me when really I'm just perving on people. So, yeah, no.
We need to be able to make fun of those people and put them in the spotlight, 100%. And when you take away our ability to do that, then that the next step is complete. We lose it all, basically.
100%. That is the exact point I wanted to make. And this isn't going anywhere, right? Candace Owens posted this about they did a space yesterday, Truth About Zionism. 1 million people tuned in live. We had 85,000 live viewers at once before people were reporting that they were being kicked out. Conclusion, the world wants free speech and honest dialogue. All the smears money can buy is not going to change the direction things are headed. So, I mean, that's definitely true. And look, for the Jews out there, like, you got to change your strategy. You can't just, like, say people are evil and tell them to shut up when they're just asking questions about things they'd never heard of before. And John Cardillo wrote, he said, I've never been a crusader, but it's incumbent upon non-Jewish conservatives to be the one to put an end to this anti-Semitic idiocy, et cetera, et cetera. But he says, otherwise we're a useless movement and religious liberty means nothing. Now, this is the opposite of religious liberty. Religious liberty means you have the right to criticize religions. It means you have the right to say, I don't believe these people and I think their morality is wrong. Like, that is religious liberty. How is it so inverted that they think it's a violation of religious liberty to insult or disagree with or even hate a religion?
That's a great picture of Ben Shapiro. I love that. Yeah. So it's iconic. Yeah. Like I said, I've made fun of them all. I've made fun of Christianity and they laugh. I've even made fun of Muslims and they said, you know what? I actually thought this was funny. I mean, hopefully the wrong ones didn't see that stuff. But right. There's something. And honestly, I've had Jewish people say, I love your music. It's, I get that you're poking fun at these tropes and these things that, what's my line? There's certain things you cannot say, so sing them all instead.
Oh,
there's a certain truth to that. That when it's unfortunate that that's where we are, but well, I'll take what we can get right now.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely, and that is the thing. And there's religious extremists on every side, right? I'm sure some Christians are not happy with songs about them.
I'm a ragtime extremist.
That is so funny. Well, can you stay on for a little longer? I'd love to continue this conversation on the other side of a quick commercial break.
I'd love to. Thanks, man.
Okay. Very excited to continue this conversation with Kylan DeGetaldi. DeGetaldi. At Foundering One on X, on Rumble at Foundering. That's FOUNDRING. Go download his music. Go look at his songs. Share them with your friends. Music can break through. Comedy can break through. And Foundering delivers both in spades. Foundering One on X. We'll be back on the other side. Talk a little bit more about the awakening process that we're all going through right now, collectively. And he and I will be your shepherds to the promised land. Stay with us.
Your grandma died all alone in the hospital. Your wife was fired over a mandate. Your teenage son has heart problems. You lost your business. They kicked you off of social media. Your two-year-old was forced to wear a mask. And now they want you to forget about the whole thing. Oh, hell no. We will never forget.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
America has been captured. We have an occupied government. Any loyal American who does not want to be a complete slave of a biomedical extermination operation needs to get informed quick, get right with God, and then start telling everybody you know about it and not complying with the system. The system is here to destroy us. Complying with it will get you killed. Period.
Let me take some brain force and then we'll do this commercial. How about that? I can think again. This is the liquid tincture version of Brain Force, which means you can really tailor it to exactly what you need. I tend to take maybe a little bit more than is directed, but it's incredibly powerful stuff, and I have an incredibly demanding job. But you make it easy by going to InfoWarsStore.com, and of course, InfoWarsStore.com makes it easy by supplying me with Brain Force Ultra. I rely on this product to do my job on a daily basis because it's absolutely jam-packed with incredible ingredients. Brain Force Ultra is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and get it now because this stuff sells out fast for very good reason. It's a fantastic supplement. It's the type of supplement that once you start taking it, well, you're going to notice if you stop. Go check out what's in Brain Force Ultra. Do your own research, and what you'll find is that this is a powerhouse formula for incredible mental clarity, focus, and energy. Now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force Ultra, it's now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've seen what President Trump has gone through in the last 8 years. And you've seen a lot of the things that InfoWars has gone through. And I want to thank all of you over the years for your word of mouth, your prayer, and your financial support, because without you, we would not be on the air. Now, without getting into a two-hour-long story, in the process of the bankruptcy in the last 2 years, we were basically sabotaged, and the people that were brought in here to supposedly run things didn't reorder product, even though there was plenty of money at the time, to basically put this operation in a position of shutting down. But by the grace of God, years ago, I set up backup supplement line from one of the main providers of the raw materials we were using. And so many of these InfoWars MD products are actually our famous products, simply private labeled, and others are different formulas this company offers. They're all top of the line. They're already bestsellers. They're already all over the market and in stores and online under other names. But they are all the very best. So this line is called InfoWars MD. Our supplements are basically all sold out. Only a few things are left, like X2, X3, and some of the other amazing products. But with InfoWars MD, you have Turmeric 95. That is the same formula as Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. You have the Nitric Boost. It's so good for your heart cardiovascular system. It is the exact same formula. So our Nitric Boost is sold out. They have their Nitric Boost. They even let us use their name Nitric Boost a few years ago. So they're the original makers of this that Dr. Minkovich and others have talked about being one of the best formulas out there. So these are all really amazing products. You want to check out the line of InfoWars MD at InfoWarsStore.com, and it funds our operation. Get great products and help keep us on the air. I need you to take action. You will love these products. They work really, really good. No matter which one you try, they're already top of the line, tested, private label by us, available right now at InfoWarsStore.com under the InfoWars MD label. Thank you for your support.
Once was a man who got his kicks impersonating Mr. Hicks. Till one day he played another trick and said, "My name is Alex Jones. Let me show you how all this goes." He spotted Bin Laden plotting something worse. The old Bill Cooper saw it first. And when those towers up and burst, they gunned for Cooper down. Then the crown. He might have missed the mark on Y2K. It's alright, he lived to bark another day. He raved big tech would pave the way for a war in the info age, with your mind taking center stage.
Alex Jones was right, folks.
Alex Jones was right. We barely even put up a fight.
Absolutely brilliant. This is a song by my guest, Foundering, on X at Foundering1, on Rumble at Foundering. You can find all of his social media there on his X at Foundering1. His real name, Kylan DeGetaldi. And Alex Jones was right. And we were just talking during the break a little bit. So you've been watching Alex Jones since, you know, the mid-2000s. You know, all I knew you from was your music, and, you know, sometimes musicians are much better in front of the piano than they are in front. So I didn't know what to expect. I was only going to have you on for 30 minutes just to, you know, get your takes on music and its role in the information war and everything. But obviously, it's like anybody that's been watching Alex Jones for 20 years, they just get it. They just get what's going on. They just are able to see through the lies. And I've been really enjoying our conversation. So I wanted to keep you on for the rest of the hour. And I'll just, the things I was going to cover, I just want to cover with you because I want to get your take on it, as clearly you get this stuff. I mean, it's, and this, again, is sort of part, I think, the red pilling process. I had to go through it. Where, like, first it's, like, world-shattering, and you're like, oh, my God. You kind of just, for me personally, I just want to, like, lay in bed and just, like, it's all over. The bad guys won. Screw this. And you got to break through that. You got to break through. And on the other side, you realize, like, most people are still good. Most people that you're around are loving, good humans. They just don't get what's going on. It's all about keeping people in a state of ignorance. You get past the hate. You get through the hate and depression, and you emerge on the other side understanding that you're involved in a like cataclysmic, epic struggle for the fate of humanity, and that it's a good thing, and that humanity deserves to be saved, and we don't deserve to be under the thumb of these scumbags. I don't want to ramble too much, but again, just talk a little bit about just like how you got to this point and the role like Alex Jones played, or just the awakening process you've been through, again, to hopefully shepherd more people who are just now waking up to this stuff. I can't believe it. I cannot believe people are still blind and just now waking up, but they are, and it's beautiful, and it's happening really rapidly. So advice, I guess, what advice would you have for people that, like, especially in the context of Israel, like, they never heard of USS Liberty, they never heard of the Levant affair. Now, because of October 7th, they're learning about all this stuff, and a lot of them are going right off the deep end. How would you guide people through this turbulent time?
Well, like I sung about in that song, it's a war in the info age with your mind taking center stage. So they want us, it's a war for your minds. They want us to be afraid to talk about certain things or to express ourselves in certain ways. And I think that once the social stigma is removed, sure, like, don't be an asshole and don't call for violence. But if you want to speculate about something, if you want to just throw something against the wall, you shouldn't have to worry about losing your job or getting arrested for it. And I think that the fact that that's happening right now is an indicator, not that we're losing, but that we're winning, right? Mm. So they wouldn't be going so hard if they had control. And it doesn't mean that we let our guards down and just say, oh, we got this. No, because now we're going to have to fight harder. But like you were saying, this has been a process for a lot of us. We were lucky, you and I and others from my generation, to be around pre-social media, but to have grown up alongside with the internet,
yes,
which allowed us to develop in a way that is kind of important, is unique. Whereas the old folks older than us weren't really afforded that opportunity, and certainly not the younger generation. Yeah. And we're in this kind of the sweet spot where, like I was saying during break, like my college girlfriend was not a fan that I listened to Alex Jones a lot. And she's like, oh, you listen to that crazy guy? And I'm like, yeah, I didn't really. When he'd be ranting about vaccines, I'm like, okay, vaccines, they saved a lot of people. And then I started going on forums. I was, like I mentioned, I was on Reddit in the early days, and I started experimenting where I talk about Bigfoot, I talk about Bermuda Triangle, I talk about whatever.
Yeah.
It was the reactions when I hit certain topics, vaccines, Israel. Back then, Monsanto was a big one, because they put so much effort into shilling and putting out bots to put their talking points. I started recognizing it right away. Like, they've gone a little more subtle with they've changed their approach. But back then it was really obvious. And it was like I was stirring this hornet's nest. Every time I mention those issues, Monsanto, vaccines, Israel, those are a big three. And I never really even thought about that stuff. So generally, you can know where there's smoke, there's fire, when you start to get that pushback from folks, right? And so, yeah, I cut my teeth on Reddit and these forums. And over the years, I started building up, not necessarily a following, but just this idea that we can question a lot of this stuff. And I saw that a shift happening pre-COVID on a lot of these social media sites of strong anti-vaxxer propaganda, in that they come after you if you try to do any type of death threats against anything. But if you call for death against Trump, if you call for death against quote-unquote anti-vaxxers, you were allowed to do that. Right. And I'm like, oh, okay, there's a shift that's happening. So around 2017, 18, 19 got really serious. So on the front page of Reddit every day, there'd be like, let's kill all anti-vaxxers. I'm like, isn't this against the terms of service? No, these social media companies are social engineering by some very bad actors to try to condition us for the next thing. And so even right now, I'm wondering I got to look around. What's the next thing? Are they going to drop the alien? You know, they're putting out these UFO videos. This is all conditioning for the next step that they're going to put us in. So it's very important to stay awake and alert as to what the propaganda efforts are.
Yeah. And even just noticing it and being aware of it and, you know, questioning it is enough to disable it a lot of times, right? If you're aware of what they're trying to do, you can just ignore it. I can watch Hollywood movies and not be sucked in by the propaganda because I just see it. I go, okay, this is what they're trying. Gee, the white guy's the evil one, huh? Okay, great. Yeah, it doesn't. It's not going to affect me. As long as you're aware of it, those subtle manipulations, they're just not able to pull them. And it's interesting you're talking about.
And that's why they're not going subtle anymore. They're going pretty brazen about things. I mean, COVID, I would say 9/11 was pretty brazen. That was pretty brazen. But pretty brazen. COVID was a whole nother level where I'm seeing even my normie family members, it woke them up. It really did. They were following everything and they were believing Fauci's and stuff. And it hasn't, some of them have gone the opposite direction, unfortunately, but that's the gamble that they took with COVID, was that they knew it was going to cut off ruin the minds of half of the population, but they risk losing a lot of the normies. And what we're seeing right now is that, and that's why they're going to have to push back so hard.
Every time they accelerate, the awakening accelerates, and then they have to double down, and then the awakening happens. And I mean, when you talk about what's happening in the UK right now, insane. It is insane. They are emptying prisons of murderers and filling them up with political, but not even political opposition, like old men who, you know, walked around during a riot. It is completely insane what they're doing there. I covered
and I don't want to take, I know it's bad there, but look at what happened. We're no better. Look what happened after J6, right?
Exactly.
We went on our own. I mean, and even that, the public perception has shifted a lot. Where what 3 years ago there was billboards saying, "Did you see someone at the report?" And now I don't feel like we have a little bit of distance from that event. But what did we see after? It was an insane crackdown. Where, for example, I and several other influential accounts on Reddit were removed from, were banned on the morning of Jan 7, the next day. And they went from there and they basically carried out across all platforms a digital night of the long knives.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. It was a holocaust. We'll be back for a final segment. One second, we'll be back in just 1 minute, or a few minutes, more with Foundering.
I hate to use this analogy, but truth is the way to go, so I'll just use it. I remember growing up with all four of my grandparents. And first my dad's dad died, and then his mother died, and then my mother's father died, and my mother's mother died. And they were all amazing, and you think they're always going to be there. But one day they're dead. Well, it's the same thing with InfoWars. We've barely survived in the last few years, like right up to millimeters. And people then go, well, you're still on air. You must be invincible. We were shot up. The operation's bleeding to death. And that's okay. We've done our mission, and we're going to continue on even if this operation shut down. But that said, I don't want to prove to you by not going 100% and us shutting down that I wasn't BSing about this. We are very, very, very close to being shut down. And literally, the final products we have in come in at InfoWarsStore.com could be the last time you get them. Now, there's a lot of stuff that goes into this, a lot of strategy. There's a good chance, 50-50, we can stay on air. But if we don't get funding, we will shut down. I need you to go to InfoWarsStore.com and get amazing products. Now, these three have been bestsellers. And these are the last runs of them, unless we get a deal done in the next few months. So we have Vitamin Mineral Fusion. We have the Vitamin C with zinc and the rose hips that's so incredible. And we have Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. All discounted. But this could easily be the final run. So I need your support, plus they're great products. Get it today at InfoWarsStore.com. And while you're there, get a book, get a film, get a t-shirt, whatever you do, share the article, share the videos, and pray for the broadcast. You've kept us on air this long, and I'm very thankful to all of you. But we are now at go moment here with this election, everything going on. We need your support now. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and support us in this critical time.
So they always tell you it's the most important election of your lifetime, but of course, this one actually is. That's demonstrable. And it's also, because it is so important, being censored at every level by the tech companies. So we were thinking about this a couple of months ago, and we thought, why not get on the road live in front of actual people, live audiences, coast to coast, a nationwide tour where we can't be censored. That'd be good. It would also be fun. So we're doing it. We're going to be on stage with some of our friends, some of the most fascinating people we know, the most recognizable people we know, responding to what is happening in America this September in real time. It'll be just like the podcast, but it's going to be live. So we're excited to announce that our friend Larry Elder is coming to join us in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Our friend John Rich will be there with us in Sunrise, Florida. We're adding more stops. We just added another stadium show in Reading, Pennsylvania. We'll be joined on stage by Alex Jones. They tell you what Alex Jones is like. Have you seen him in person? You should. Make up your own mind. It's going to be fun as hell and interesting and intense, and we hope you will join us. Go to TuckerCarlson.com right now to get your tickets. See you there.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. InfoWars.com/go.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
America has been captured. We have an occupied government. Any loyal American who does not want to be a complete slave of a biomedical extermination operation needs to get informed quick, get right with God, and then start telling everybody you know about it and not complying with the system. The system is here to destroy us. Complying with it will get you killed. Period.
We told you what was going to happen, and it did. Now we're telling you what's coming. At Real Alex Jones on X.
Mr. Johnny Rockefeller back in 1909 said, "Hey, J.P. Morgan, heard you got a cruise line. Let's make two Titanic ships. It's okay. We'll swap them in the evening when they go to sleep. We'll sink one to the bottom of the ocean deep. And everyone we don't like will have a water."
It goes back, folks. It goes way back. This again is another song by my guest, Foundering, on X at Foundering One, on Rumble at Foundering. That's Foundring. Real name, Kylan DeGaudi. It really goes back, doesn't it? That's one of the things about the awakening is you start going, wait a second, was COVID made in a lab? And suddenly you're going, the Titanic didn't exist. the Lusitania was an inside job. It really goes back, doesn't it?
And also the timeline of the exposure of these events is accelerating, where we saw the JFK assassination took 10 years at least for the Warren Commission to even start. And then, you know, it's a Zapruder film. And JFK, the movie, came out in the 90s, 30-year process. 9/11 started unraveling after a few years.
Yeah.
What Butler, Pennsylvania was unraveled basically within 2 days.
Right. No, so, you're exactly
so these,
right.
These events, they can't, the half-life on the ability for them to keep up the official narrative is breaking down, which is why they have to hit us with so many, like, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. We're whiplashed from, like, it's amazing that this Butler, Pennsylvania was a month ago. Right. And yet it feels like almost ancient history. I hate to say it now. It's wild.
No, it's,
and that's by design.
No, you're exactly right. Everything is getting so much crazier, and especially with things like 9/11. My friend pointed this out to me, and I haven't been able to stop thinking about it since. That, like, 10 years ago, if you said the official story of 9/11 is not correct, nobody liked you, right? I mean, nobody agreed with you. Everybody thought you were a crazy conspiracy theorist, tinfoil hat wearing person.
It's the opposite. Now they don't like you if you think it's real.
Right. And that just sort of happened. And there wasn't one moment, right? There wasn't one big revelation where suddenly now everybody gets it. It happened slowly over time. And eventually it reached that critical mass where now probably the average person thinks that there is something questionable about 9/11. Totally unacceptable 10 years ago. Now, status quo. That's called winning the information war.
I was 15 when it happened, and I wasn't quite indoctrinated by the system, but I was old enough to think for myself. And the moment that they put those pictures up and they put Bin Laden's face, I knew. I wasn't a conspiracy theorist, but I knew something was wrong. And I think you can't really pinpoint a moment. I would say the COVID era was a big one where they really, I feel like they played that card a little too early. Like maybe it was planned for, I don't know if it was Trump that the mule 2.0 that caused them to do it, but I don't think they were quite ready for that moment. Maybe Hillary was supposed to be president. I don't know, but I think that they went too big and too hard and they knew that they were going to risk. I don't know if this is the AI running all of it, whatever, but they were going to risk losing a lot of folks. And they did. They really did. And now, like I said, I can talk with certain family members about 9/11, about Israel, about vaccines when I couldn't before. So and it's a really important time right now. Really
it
important.
Is. It is. It's an opportunity. We have to take advantage of this opportunity of people being, you know, the door is open right now. It's up to us to walk in and not walk in with, you idiot, you believe this and you're so stupid and I'm the genius. It's like, you got to understand, everybody had to go through this process. You got to have empathy for them. If they're just waking up, they need friends on the other side going, come on in. The water's fine. I'm glad
and
you're
singing
you're finally
a jaunty little ditty with a ragtime beat. It can it can help for some people. It's not for everybody. I get it. I'm not trying to make everyone happy. But for a certain demographic, it can be really useful, which is why folks like me are targeted.
100%. Again, I love bringing people like yourself on the show in hopes that, you know, somebody listening to this right now, we have, you know, hundreds of thousands, millions of people listening right now. One of them's got a talent. One of them's got an idea for a skit or a song or something. And hopefully, you know, seeing somebody else have success in this, you know, hearing this inspirational stuff, they'll go out and make something. Somebody hears that. They make a change in their life. I mean, who knows what the downstream effect
of
this stuff is.
I got a hot take for you.
Hit me.
AI music generation. I'm worried. Yes, AI is the devil basically and going to take over the world and turn us into transhumanists. But at the same time, I think it's a really powerful tool.
Exactly.
And I don't think that the AI, like for example, the music generation, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's going to allow people without the experience to put their thoughts and turn it into a catchy little ditty. And they've had a monopoly on the music industry for a reason for so long, why they put out all this slop and it just to keep us dumbed down. And once that, they relinquish it's not just music, it's the ability to create. Sure, we can go too far and become, you know, get plugged into the matrix or whatnot. But I do think that these tools that are becoming accessible right now have a lot of potential to use to weaponize against them.
100%. We have to be on the forefront of this. And whether it's music or like making Hollywood level productions for free with AI, I mean, it's mind-blowing the tool chest that they have opened for everybody, and we can take advantage of that and beat them with ideas like we did with memes.
It's the internet all over again, where it came from DARPA, and they released it as an under-controlled way, and there was a moment when it kind of got out a little too much, and that's when we cut our teeth and why what formed us into who we are today. And I feel like we're in a similar revolution right now where the cat's out of the bag a little bit and they're going to try to corral it and co-opt it like they normally do. But I don't know, man. I think that we're seeing these power structures weakening, which is why they're putting this show of force, this jackboot show of force. But it's all posturing. It really is.
It's an act of desperation, just like COVID was. I totally agree. They were not prepared to release that, but they felt that they wouldn't have survived another 4 years of Trump. They had to do something totally drastic. Now, just to close out the show here, I have a collection of articles. They didn't go with any of my other stacks. So I put them in this segment we're going to call Get Used to It, because I feel like that's the overwhelming message from the mainstream media is everything's getting worse and it's up to you to get used to it, not try to stop it, not try to fix it, not to go back to how things were before. Just change your own expectations to be okay. So this is just a collection of stories over the weekend.
Kamala Harris is a retarded communist drunk. Get used to it.
Get used to it. She's your president now, and you're going to love it, and we're all going to pretend to love it. Exactly. So here's just a quick collection, all right? Flight diverted after pilot admits he isn't qualified to land. Quote, really sorry, folks. Oh, okay, great. you're in the air. I'm not. Okay, fine. Purdue recalls 167,000 pounds of chicken nuggets over metal contamination. Folks, get used to it. There's metal in the nuggets now. Pretend it's delicious. Suni Williams and Butch Wilmore's family speak up as the astronauts remain stranded in space. Yeah, there's two astronauts that just we can't get back from space because we just can't handle it. Boeing, of course. One standard deviation increase in doctor quality reduces patient mortality risk by 12.2% as the entire healthcare industry, you know, kills itself over DEI and trying to get, I don't know, black people to be doctors, I guess. It's going to massively increase deaths. And finally, we have this. Waymo cars honk at each other throughout the night, disturbing San Francisco neighbors. We actually have a video of this where a parking lot full of self-driving cars is fighting with itself all night. I don't think we can handle the technology that we've been granted. Clip number 24. We can watch this. But we should just get used to this, right? Everything sucks. Everybody hates each other. Everybody's failing. The pilot can't land the plane. There's metal in your chicken nuggets. People are just floating around in outer space dead. What are we doing here? What are we doing here, Galen?
The real question is, do those cars avoid the massive piles of human feces that have littered? Do they have the map, the San Francisco feces map?
It's a DLC, yeah.
It hits close to home, man, because I'm near San Francisco, and a lot of that those policies have spilled out to where I am here. And just recently in the news, a very tragic case of a girl who was murdered about 10 years ago locally here. And the murderer is going to be let free, potentially, due to Kamala Harris's laws that she enacted or whatever when she was DA or whatever she did. And yet the people around here are outraged by it, but they're still voting for these same people. They're like, oh, I'm so mad, but Kamala's got my vote. It's this extreme cognitive dissonance that it feels impenetrable at times, but then every once in a while you do break through. And when you show these stories back to one of them at a time, it's like, okay, that's ridiculous. But back to back to back, it's becoming impossible to ignore all except for the flamingos with their heads in the ground. But like I said, we are in this great awakening right now. And it's just a privilege and an honor to be serving here with all of the other friends and meme lords out there. So anyway, thanks again for having me on and letting me talk with you. This has been a really cool full circle experience as someone who's been an Alex Jones guy for almost 20 years now, and here I am. So it's humbling and an honor. So thank you, man.
No, the honor is all mine. Kylan De Gataldi at Foundering One on X, Rumble Foundering, FOUNDRING. Thank you so much for being with us. That's going to do it for us.
You're the man, Harrison.
Alex Jones in 90 seconds. The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
Why do we sit there and act like these people are so important? And still the old politicians, especially the Republicans, they still put stock in what the media says, the corporate media. You want to be attacked by CNN. You want to be attacked by ABC News. It just shows that they've done everything they can to destroy me and demonize me and say I'm all these horrible things that I'm not. And it hasn't worked. Yeah, I lied about WMDs in Iraq and tripled the sanctions and starved 2.5 million people to death, 1 million kids. Yeah, I opened the borders up. I shipped the fentanyl in. I run the giant rape gangs. I'm starting World War III with Russia. I'm cutting children's penises off. Oh, no, that's openly, publicly, the government and the system. No, I'm not doing any of that. And I sure as hell ain't perfect. But at the end of the day, I love God and I love justice. And just because you guys twist a bunch of crap and make a bunch of stuff about Elon Musk or Donald Trump or Alice Jones, the dog ain't hunting.